The following presentation is a production of 92.5 XTU.
Ladies and gentlemen, this radio station, 92.5 XTU, has been in this Philadelphia city since 1984, 35 years, bringing you the best in country music. And we'd like to share our friends with you and our relationships that go deep into Nashville, and I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Hunter Hayes.
Hi, guys.
We're going to talk for a couple minutes, and I want you to get, you all can come up and get close to the stage, because he performs better when you're closer. So, I first met Hunter, it's got to be Hunter, probably about 7 or 8 years now. But what I want you to talk to people about is, you've been doing this in the public eye since you're 6 years old. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's weird.
Is it weird?
It's weird, yeah. Well, to like look back at all that, like, but I think, okay, so yeah, I did start like really young. I started before I realized that this was an optional career path. I fell in love with music before I realized that that I had to make a decision on it being a career. And I'm grateful for that because nobody talked me out of it. Like, no, I passed the point, somehow, magically, passed the point where I could be talked out of it. And somebody could say, like, it's probably not going to be, like, a long-term thing.
So, when I was reading about your journey, so how does somebody find you at 6 years old to bring you on the television to play the accordion? I think that was the first thing you played, right?
Yes, it was.
So how does somebody find you back in Bow Ridge, Louisiana?
So, funny story, and it's like, this never happens this way, and I don't know that it'll ever happen again. It hasn't happened since, that's for sure, but there's a bed and breakfast in my hometown, and the owner, Rocky Sonia, is friends with, like, everybody. And when I say everybody, I mean, like, every celebrity that comes into Lafayette, Louisiana, or Bow Ridge, Louisiana, they call him, they talk to him first. And he hosts these jams on the back, like, porch of his bed and breakfast, and that's where I met Hank Williams Jr. for the first time. And
wow.
He's there, yeah. So it kind of started there, and it was an invite, like, hey, you guys should come out to this concert, or hey, you guys should come out to Texas Motor Speedway for Country Fest 97, and it's on TV, and next thing you know, I made my big TNN debut. It was TNN at the time, remember?
Yeah.
It wasn't CMT, it was TNN.
The Nashville Network.
The Nashville Network,
yeah. So what I love about your story is not only did you play at the bed and breakfast, you all of a sudden, at a very young age, are in TV, and then you get in movies, and then you're doing all kinds of stuff with, I think it was the Rose McDonald Show.
Yep, did that.
And then you meet Robert Duvall on the set of a movie. He gives you your first guitar.
Yep.
I love that story. Tell these people how Robert comes about that.
Me too. I feel like this interview is just like me dropping names, which I'm all
about. Let's drop some names.
We can get into my Stevie Wonder story later.
Okay.
I met Robert Duvall. He came to a restaurant in my hometown. You know, from which, like, you can totally see the house that I live in from this restaurant. Like, that's how small my hometown is. And he came to this restaurant. I was sitting in with the band that was playing that night. And, yeah, he just walked over to the table and introduced himself to my mom and my dad and I. And we were a big table. We were, you know, a bunch of us together. And he invited us all to kind of be extras in the movie that he was filming in Houma, a couple hours south of where I live.
What was the name of that movie again? It was
The Apostle.
Yes, The Apostle.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Actually, now that I've gotten older and I can appreciate it, it's a great movie. But anyway, he invited us to be like extras, and we kind of got to know him on the set, I guess, him and his wife. And I don't know what he was coming back down to Louisiana for, but he was coming back down for something for the film and happened to be there on my birthday, showed up in his like rental car Explorer with my first ever guitar and my first amp, and I have a picture with them. And,
that's awesome.
That was my first guitar.
So how many here could play an instrument?
You don't give yourselves enough credit. I bet you all can rock anything you wanted to.
Three. Honestly. How many could play two instruments?
Not one.
One. How many could play five instruments? You could play. You didn't even raise your hand for one. You can play how many instruments?
Yo, the tattoo is so dope.
That is really cool.
That's incredible.
So how many can you play?
Hell yeah, you can.
Four instruments. How many can play 30? Raise your hand.
know. I feel like a total douchebag when I talk about this, honestly. Because, like, I'm not good at any of them, and I honestly, like, I'm flattered by that, I really am. But honestly, I think my biggest goal with that particular sort of bullet point in my Wikipedia page is to kind of encourage creative people. Like, that is just me failing until I get it right. I'm not great with
so
any of those.
You 29?
Huh? Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I record, and I can record endless. There's endless tape, right? We're in the digital age, right? So I can play for hours. I can suck at something for days, and then finally get 3 minutes of gold. And I'm like, yep, that's all the world needs to hear. So that's kind of where I start.
So let's talk about gold, okay? Can I give some stats? And I know you're not a stats guy, but I want you to listen to his compliments for such a young age, right? Nominated for 5 Grammy Awards. Best New Artist at the CMA's 2012.
Yeah.
Right. 3 BMI Awards, which is a songwriting award. Right. Those are 3 of those. 3.5 million copies sold of a song you all love called Wanted.
Yeah.
Millions of albums. And look at this young man. Sitting here today, hanging out with us in South Philly.
Still having a hard time getting up before 11 a.m.
And one of the quotes I read that recently said that you're not basing your life or your career on stats. Explain that a little bit.
It depends on the day.
Okay, all right.
It depends on the room I'm in. No, I don't know. I think so Wild Blue Part 1, which just came out last week.
Yep.
Thank you, Phil. My biggest thing for that was not to draw expectations. That is part one of a very important series for me. And it's only part one. And what I mean by only part one is it's only the beginning. It's the beginning of a new way of working for me. And I think it was really important for me, if I was going to work that way, which to explain, Wild Blue Part 1 came about when I said, what if I made a record that no one was ever going to hear? And all of a sudden, I started being more honest with myself. I started being more honest with the world. We got Wild Blue the Song. In order, January 11th, I wrote Wild Blue the Song. I think maybe the 12th or 13th, I wrote One Shot. And then like 3 days later, I wrote My Song 2. So a lot of the honesty came from removing the filters. And I think the best thing that I can do for myself emotionally is not put any pressure on this album. I'm going to put pressure on songs and, you know, maybe part two. But at least for this album and the creation of part two, you know, because we're well on our way through it, but we're not done yet, and I don't want to put any eyes on it. I kind of just want to disappear with it and finish it with the same sort of mentality that I started Wild Blue Part 1 with, you know?
I heard that at any given time you could access 50, 60 songs in your collection?
Hundreds.
You rotate that many songs in your mind?
I went from that to writing fragments of songs when they happen. And it's amazing what has happened now that I've done that. Like, One Shot happened because I had a piano piece and a title and a fragment of a lyric. And, you know, all these things started happening because I was okay with just having, yeah, creative spurts versus, like, I have to finish everything all at once. And because of that, honestly, part two has just, like, become this totally different animal because I've allowed that part of the process to happen. Does that make sense?
Definitely makes sense, but everybody's creative process is different.
Yeah.
And you found your own voice.
Yeah. Finding.
Yeah, you're still finding.
Yeah, for sure.
But to talk about the stats thing for a second, I think part of the second half of that quote was, you're going to judge your life by the longevity of mm-hmm. what you've produced throughout your career and your life. And that's
yeah.
really important.
Yeah, which is strikingly contrasting to the way that a lot of the business works nowadays, because they want the instant song, the flash in the pan, the thing, and for me, it's like, I want to see you guys in 30 years at a concert, still singing the same music that we're going to sing today. That's the dream.
I'll be there. Yeah, that's awesome. But, you know, it's so funny, like, you can't go to your record label and go, well, you know, we may not have a hit on this one, but I'm going to be around for a really long time. I'd be like, you might want to check that.
By the grace of God, I have a label that gets it and supports it. So
that's awesome.
Thank
all
you.
Right, so tell your Stevie Wonder story, and then we'll play some music.
I actually didn't have a Stevie Wonder story.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I did, but you
played with him, though.
I did, yeah, I did. That happened. I met him. My favorite part, okay, so I played with him. So Stevie came, and we played together on the ACMs a couple,
right.
several
a long time ago.
It's the day that I debuted Crazy. Three highlights from that. Number one, I had met him. I had met him in an office. He played me a song, I played him a song. It was really cool. But three highlights. Number one, he gets out of the car, and his right-hand man, like his trusted, like, guy says, here, take his arm, and let me lead Stevie onto stage. Like, I walked Stevie onto stage. And that's a big deal for me. For someone to trust someone to that extent, it's a big deal. And he placed all his trust in me right away, so I was like, okay, here we go. Highlight number two, I got to do the same thing walking into the audience at the ACMs, meaning on the floor where all the artists are that are actually winning all the awards, where everybody is, where the business is, I got to walk in front of them escorting my buddy, Stevie Wonder. He's like hanging out. But the absolute highlight was at the end of it. I had said goodbye, and I kind of assumed that, you know, that I didn't want to bother him. He was getting bombarded by this point. This was after the award show. My mom and dad went in to say goodbye, and he pulled me in, and he stood up, and he said, can I pray over you guys? And he prayed over me and mom and dad on my way out, and that was like, I was levitating.
And then you could play the piano.
And then I learned how to play the clarinet. It was amazing.
That is awesome. Well, listen, we're glad, and thank you for coming here to be with us today.
Yeah.
I know you're preparing for a performance tonight, but it takes a lot to come out early in the day and do this, and I hope your voice is ready. I know you're upstairs warming up.
No pressure.
But we really appreciate you being here with us and sharing your talent and your music and your stories with our friends here in Philadelphia.
Thank you, man.
You ready to play some music?
Check out more of our podcasts at 925XTU.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.